Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it was a huge day up in Washington, D.C. today. I hope you saw those notices I put out on Facebook, and we did a Facebook Live earlier today to pray. While the arguments were going on in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, Jack Phillips, of course, who has been in a battle in Colorado for 5 years, a Christian baker who refused to use his talent, which is the same thing as his speech, to take part in a gay wedding, and the state of Colorado went after him, and so today the case was heard before the U.S. Supreme Court, which is good and bad, the fact that we're going to allow some percentage of 9 people in black robes to decide our religious freedom is a nightmare in the first place, that it's gone all the way there, but it's there. And so hopefully you prayed about that. Continue to pray about that, because now deliberation starts. But this is a big deal, and our friend Tammy Fitzgerald from the North Carolina Values Coalition was up there today, and she's calling in with a live report from Washington, D.C. Tammy, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you. So what did you learn today? I know you went over to the Heritage Foundation and got an update on how the case went today at the Supreme Court.
Yes. Well, there was a big crowd out in front of the Supreme Court in support of Jack. I mean, they were there for about 3 hours.
Wow.
And a couple of, I think, 5 other clients of ADF spoke. These are clients who have been sued by either gay couples or states for basically the same reason that Jack Phillips was sued by the state of Colorado, their religious freedom cases. And so that was a great experience to be there. And then to see the attorneys and Jack Phillips come out of the court and walk down the steps, and they came to the microphone at the rally, and Jack gave a few words and talked about his case and his life and kind of what's happening as a result of the threats and intimidation that the state of Colorado has levied against him. But I did learn some things that went on in the court, although I was not able to get into the court myself. But apparently, Justice Kennedy, who wrote the opinion on the Obergefell case, the case that struck down 31 states' marriage amendments and basically mandated that same-sex couples could have a marriage license, Justice Kennedy sort of indicated that he thought the state of Colorado had gone too far, that they were discriminating against religious persons, and he called it animus against religious persons, and said that there ought to be a balance of rights, and that the state of Colorado had not paid any attention to balancing the rights of Jack Phillips against those of same-sex couples. And
that's a huge statement coming out of Kennedy.
It is. And, you know, there are two big legal issues in the case. One is the free speech issue. And if the state of Colorado gets away with it, they can force any creative professional to participate in any message the state wants to promote. So that issue involves whether the state can compel Jack as a creative professional to participate in creative expression, which is free speech, that's mandated by the government. And so that's one of the issues. And the second issue is the free exercise of religion. And Justice Kennedy's comments indicate that they might decide the case on the religious exercise claim because he talked about the state of Colorado had it in for religious persons. He brought up the fact there were 3 bakers who refused to bake cakes with messages against same-sex marriage in the same city as Jack. And the Commission on Civil Rights in Colorado said that was okay. They didn't force them to bake the cake.
Right,
and so it very much begins to look like they just are enforcing expression against Christian bakers, not against other types of bakers. And so it's going to be an interesting result, but I was on a phone call just an hour ago with the Christian Legal Society where they gave a little bit more detail about what happened in the court. Apparently, Justice Roberts presented a question about a Catholic legal services organization. He asked, and I think he's asking the ACLU lawyer this question, would they have to provide legal services to a same-sex couple who wanted to sue Jack Phillips for not providing them a wedding cake? And the ACLU lawyer actually said, yes, they would.
Wow.
And, you know, that really is an astonishing answer.
Yeah,
to say that out loud in the U.S. Supreme Court is just brazen. And I think, according to some experts, even Justice Ginsburg was a bit surprised. She asked if Phillips would have to provide a custom-made cake for one and all, as long as he didn't have to put a message on the cake that he disagreed with. And the ACLU said that if he wrote a message on a heterosexual cake, he would be required to write the same message on a homosexual couple's cake. And that astonished even Justice Ginsburg.
Wow.
So,
wow. Yeah, see, that's just their pride welling up, thinking that they've got it lock, stock, and barrel. And I know that you were there. I know you've been praying through this. I had a Facebook Live and prayed earlier today and called people to prayer yesterday, and was praying specifically that the lawyers against Mr. Phillips would completely screw up and get confused and be prideful and brazen, and that's exactly what they did.
Well, the argument they're making, that at least what I'm hearing from people who are in the court, is over the top, and it's compelled speech.
That's tyranny.
Anti-discrimination laws trump free speech and religious exercise always, at all times.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
what they said to the court.
Wow.
Now, Justices Sotomayor and Kagan both asked about interracial weddings. You know, can you equate this to a period in our history where interracial weddings were banned? And the ADF lawyer, Kristen Wagner, responded that there's a difference between an objection to the message and an objection to the person.
To the person, right.
Him or herself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mr. Phillips would serve anybody coming into his store, gay or straight, male or female, black or white, whatever. He would serve them whatever they want in the store. But this is about a message, which is about speech, which is about freedom. And thank God that the ADF was there. Tammy, thanks so much for being there. Thanks for that report. And we'll continue to talk to you and get more updates as things unfold.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Talk to you again real soon. That's Tammy Fitzgerald from NC Values Coalition, an incredible organization. This is Steve Noble. Education when we come back. Welcome back. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. It's good to get that report from Washington, D.C. about the giant religious freedom case that was heard before the Supreme Court. So make sure you continue to pray. Now we're just praying. Now we don't have to pray for the lawyers anymore. We don't have to pray for Jack Phillips, although we do want him to get justice. We need to be praying for the Supreme Court justices themselves. It sounded like it went in the right direction. And even Justice Kennedy was asking good questions and questions that were against the ACLU and for religious freedom. So let's all be making sure we continue to pray for wisdom for those that would be able to see it and would see the truth on this issue, and pray for people like Sotomayor and Kagan that their thinking and their voices would be confused and silenced, basically. So we're going to pray aggressively on this one, okay? So we're going to change the direction now of the show. Our good friend Alan Hahn, who, of course, is the chief education officer at Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina, just an incredible move of God for these young men, and also Academy 31 starting up next year for the young women, and God has just been doing some awesome things. So we're talking about education in general today. Yes, there'll be Iron Academy application if you happen to be here in the Triangle area where I live and broadcast from. So we would love to engage you locally in terms of considering Iron Academy or Academy 31. But this is a much broader conversation than that, as we consider education in general, biblical versus Christian versus secular, and some other kind of boisterous and bold claims that Alan's going to lay on us today. But Alan Hahn from Iron Academy, welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. And based on what we were talking about the other day and the information you brought in with you and some of the cases you want to make here, you're feeling a bit feisty, I would say, about the general state of education in America for our kids.
Yes, I am, but maybe I better tone that down a little bit.
Well, then switch shows. Go somewhere else. Because, you know the deal. There's no sacred cows here, so we're not going to hold back anything. But where do you want to start this conversation? Because if we're kind of calling the entire educational system into question, which I believe we are and should, how do we begin to unpack that? Because we got all kinds of people listening and people in different situations and public school, private school, Christian school, secular school, and some of them, like at Iron Academy, are in single-sex schools. And we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and we don't want to unnecessarily hurt people's feelings, but we got to speak the truth here. So where do you want to start?
Well, I think the constitutional case today really brings up some relevant questions. Our world is changing so quickly. Our cultural values are changing. And I'm not going to say times were always better in the past, because we've had Sodom and Gomorrah before.
Sure.
But the rapid nature of change that we're experiencing today is unlike anything in recent American history, for sure. And it has some parallels in ancient history, but nothing recent. So we need to really think about where we're going, where we're taking our children and the world they're going to be coming into. And we can do that, obviously, from a discipleship perspective, but also from an educational perspective. And I think there are a lot of things to really consider for our future and for our children.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. just that report we just got from Tammy Fitzgerald up in D.C., where they're, you know, arguing this case about religious freedom versus tyranny, which is alive and well here in America. And who would have thought 25 years ago we'd be discussing any of that, let alone gender? But that's the world we're in now. And you and I are engaging that world as fairly mature Christians and fairly mature men. But our kids are not there. So we're talking about what's happening to 6 through 6-year-olds up to 18-year-olds. And this stuff's just barraging them. And we can't have our heads in the sand because our whole worldview is under attack. Not just a Christian worldview. I mean, but freedom in general, I think, and liberty in general. So we cannot be so Pollyanna-ish to think that they're going to be okay, because they're not.
Yeah, just because it worked out for you, and I'll do air quotes about worked out for you or me, we've got to really think about where we're going, what it means to educate our young people biblically, whether we are endeavoring to our best ability in the Deuteronomy 6 nature of the terms to build disciples of Christ, or are we just giving them an education, knowing that God's sovereignty will take care of everything later?
Yeah, we tend to kind of lean on grace and God, everything will work out. Well, there's wreckage in this world because there's sin. And God doesn't shield us from all of that. He brings us through it, but he doesn't shield us from it. So let's just kind of start with a grand theme here of biblical versus Christian versus secular education. How do we kind of unpack that?
Okay. All right. Well, secular, obviously, the objective is not to teach a biblical worldview. As disciples of Christ, we are trying to achieve a biblical worldview, meaning we are trying to think in a way that orders the world as God has ordered, that we understand the Lord. And that's what we're always doing as disciples. We're becoming closer to him. We're trying to figure out his will in our lives. Obviously, we want that for our children. How do we do that? Well, Deuteronomy 6 tells us, well, we do that when they're walking in, when they're going out. We'll tie the law to their as frontless to our eyes. We'll have it hanging on our doorpost. So it's 24/7 education. It's not when they get home from school.
Yeah.
So we have options. We can do secular education. We can do Christian education. And I think we can do biblical education. And I think those are three different categories. So what is biblical education? I think we have really two options. We either have a family-based education that is actively seeking to build young people who can be disciples of Christ and go out and act like disciples of Christ. They can do, they can follow, that don't just hear, but do. In the second form of biblical education, I would say is we have to trust people implicitly to reinforce what we're teaching at home. And it's always about biblical truth and creating people who can grow out in the world and do.
And that's the challenge with secular education. I always bring this up when I go down this road, that the scriptures command me not to provoke my kids to wrath, right? Not to cause them to stumble into tribulation, don't exasperate them in many versions of the Bible, and to send them into a secular education environment where they're being taught largely an anti-biblical worldview. I mean, aggressively taught. And then they come home and they're like, no. This is what the scripture says. Now, that to me sounds exasperating. And when you do that, I think we're doing it on a daily basis. And some people will say, we were talking about this before we went live, some people will say, well, we have some great teachers in our school, and I don't doubt that. There's some great teachers out there. And our school isn't that bad. To that, I would say, how do you know? Because you're not in there 5 days a week. And maybe you can find some great individual teachers and even some Christians serving diligently and somewhat effectively in the public school system, in the government school system. But overall, the whole system is largely bent against our worldview, and I don't think there's any denying that.
Not here. No. It's increasingly we see classes designed to attack a biblical worldview. We see AP classes designed to attack a biblical worldview. The best education we have out there in the secular environments is increasingly bent towards tearing down a biblical worldview.
Yeah, it's not just that they're there's two sides of that coin, because while they might be tearing down and saying things against a biblical worldview, they are building up an anti-biblical worldview. I mean, I've had people call in and I've helped them here locally where their 9-year-old is in class and the teacher wants to do kind of a little coming out for the little Billy or the little Cindy in the class that's decided they want to switch genders and their parents are with them. And they tell the kids, let's all clap now and encourage little Billy or little Cindy. And
right.
They're forcing kids to do that and telling them, hey, you know, little Billy, if he wants to have his Audi turned into an innie somehow, that's fine. And we should clap for that. I mean, that's overt indoctrination and evil, I think.
And if it hasn't come to your neighborhood, it's coming.
Yeah, there's no way around that. And we see it. And what you see on a federal level and when you see the ACLU, when you see all the organizations like GLAAD and others like that, just an anti-biblical worldview, period, which is spiritually predisposed to happen, right? That's just the reality of the world. People don't like God. They don't like judgment. They don't like the word. And so they're going to attack that. And unfortunately, any of our kids that are in a secular school system are going to get attacked as a result of that. So we're going to keep talking about that. We're going to talk about secular versus Christian, and we're going to talk about what Alan is calling the only two acceptable forms of biblical education, which will probably rock a few worlds when we come back. This is Steve Noble with Alan Hahn of Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. By the way, if you want to join us on Facebook Live and see what's going on right here in the studio, just jump over to facebook.com/C2A Radio. All the previous shows, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on any other really podcast software or app that you would throw on your phone. But you can find all that as well at the homepage, C2Atoday.com. You can get to the website there. Or like I said, join us on Facebook, facebook.com/C2A Radio. And we're talking to Alan Hahn, our good friend from Iron Academy here in Raleigh, and also soon to open up next fall, Academy 31, which is for the young women out there, Iron Academy for the young men, and a very intentional discipleship, creating biblical manhood, because that is never an accident. It's intentional. It has to take place over time, and you have to work on it. And that has to be a combined effort, by the way, between not just the school, but the parents as well. And if you don't have unity there, you're going to have problems, which we obviously see in our youth. And we've seen that for years, especially when they go off to college. So today we're talking about a lot of kind of general educational principles, but specifically drilling down with Alan now into Christian versus quote unquote biblical education. And then we'll unpack a little bit about single sex education. We talked to Denise O'Donohue, who's the head of Iron Academy and developing the women there. The last time she was on, that was just a few weeks ago. So I want to make sure we dive into that. Plus, we'll have some tips for all of us with your kids in whatever education they're in. And then the last segment of the show. So make sure you stay in there with us the whole time. So, Alan, again, we were talking about you're starting to kind of unpack the difference between, quote unquote, a Christian school versus a biblical education. So what's the difference there? How do we understand that?
So Christian education is obviously a good thing. We want Christian education out there. I think we can use the synonym for Christian as evangelical, and evangelical is coming under attack in a lot of circles for what it means and what it no longer means. But Christian today, it's largely come about in two waves. The first wave came about in the 70s and 80s, largely as a means to protect our children from the chaos of desegregation. And then we had a new wave of Christian schools that came about thereafter, when we started having more economic prosperity, especially in the mid-90s, a lot of great things were happening there. People had more disposable income. But we wanted to protect our children from the chaos of cultural decline. And again, I would never defend the first one, but the second, protecting your children from cultural decline, obviously as Christian parents, we want to do that.
Yep.
If we are disciples of Christ, we want to bring up our children to be godly men and women. How do we do that? Well, knowing education is an important part of that. We put them in one of two places. We put them in a biblical environment, a Christian environment, but hopefully not a secular environment, because we know that's tearing down their biblical world or building a biblical worldview that they're going to have to overcome later as disciples of Christ.
Right.
I'm still doing that from years of indoctrination myself.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, what happens in the secular school, and you mentioned this before we went on the air, but some of the math that I always use, kindergarten through 12th grade, butts in the seats, actual school time is about 16,000 hours. Same amount of time, kindergarten through 12th grade, for popular media, movies, video games, iPod, iPad, all that stuff. Another 16,000 hours. So 32,000 hours, largely not biblical. I mean, we can all agree on that. If you take your kids to Sunday school, if you take them to church on Sunday, and then you go back Sunday night for youth group, and then you go back Wednesday night for supper, that's 4 hours a week over the same period of time, kindergarten through 12th grade. That's 2,400 hours. So 2,400 hours of biblical teaching, hopefully, versus 32,000 of largely non-biblical teaching. And the math just overwhelms you. It's an avalanche that you can't survive. And so the question becomes, what are your kids marinating in? If I put a piece of meat in a bucket full of urine and for 8 hours a day, guess what it's going to taste like when I cook it? Okay, we can all answer that question. That's what we're talking about here, is marinating in a non-biblical, non-Christian environment, or Christian, which is kind of general. But what's the difference between Christian and biblical? Because now it sounds like we're getting much more intentional, much more focused.
Well, I think the times require much more intentionality. Actually, I won't say that, because we've always been required to have intentionality. It's much more obvious that we need to obey God's word, to adhere to that Deuteronomy 6 model. So if we're going to have a biblical environment, and this is what we aspire to be at Iron Academy, to build a genuine discipleship community where we're building young men, and with Academy 31, where we're building young women who are genuinely pursuing Christ and not being protected, but actually walking the walk of the disciple of Christ is painful.
Yeah,
it's a lot of introspection. It's a lot of group activities where we're really digging into one another, but genuinely pursuing that. You as a parent have to have people you can implicitly trust to build your disciple of your son or daughter, just as you are at home, not less than, equal to, or greater than. Your children need that. We don't live in a society where 200 years ago they would be alongside you until they left the home.
Right, right.
We are trusting them to somebody. We have to build them into biblical warriors in many ways. Are we building radicals? Well, yeah, we are.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, Jesus, of course, the ultimate radical himself. And just on a note, a couple of people on Facebook are talking about this, you know, supporting all cultures and conservatives and liberals. I believe that's the call of a public education. I don't think that's the call at all of a private education or a homeschool education. Listen, we homeschooled our kids because we wanted to be 100% control of the content and what they're being taught and what they're not being exposed to. If you have a private Christian school, you choose to only allow born-again Christians in there, you have that right. Welcome to the United States of America. And we're talking about discipleship, which is for followers of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So this is very specific. The public education, be as multicultural and multi-whatever as you want. But in a private education, we're talking about biblical education. No, this is all about the Bible. And if that's not what you like, don't come here or we won't even let you in. And that's fine. That's America. Kind of get over that. So you said here, some of the notes you sent me, only two acceptable forms of biblical education. One is, I guess, homeschooling, so family-based. And then the other would be done by, like you were saying, we're handing our kids off to somebody. So then it's got to be a very intentional environment. So those are the only two. Is that right?
The way I see it. All right. So, and when you say homeschooling, not exactly. Biblical homeschooling, yes, absolutely. There's all kinds of homeschooling as well, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we're either doing that or we are allying actively with some other organization to build disciples of Christ. And they're reinforcing exactly what we believe to be biblical manhood, biblical womanhood.
Well, I've got every Thursday, I have 42 students between the ages of 14 and 17 whose parents have made a deliberate and paid-for decision to have them underneath my care, custody, and control for an hour and a half every Thursday. And they know that I'm going to be teaching them, yes, about civics, and yes, about the government, and yes, about the Constitution. But they also know I'm in there with an explicit mission to disciple them. And they know it. They trust me. They hand their kids over to me. I have them for an hour and a half every week, 42 of them. And that's the deal. That's unity of purpose and unity of message, and I'm teaching, and we're reinforcing each other. So they go home to their biblical-believing parents, and they come to my class to their biblical-believing teacher. And that's what we're talking about, that kind of partnership.
Yes. Sometimes the parents sharpen us. Sometimes we sharpen the parents, but we're always all that we can do is pursue our relationship with Christ to the best of our ability. It doesn't mean I'm there yet. It doesn't mean anybody on our staff is sure. there yet. It doesn't mean parents are there yet. It's a humble pursuit of correct theology.
Yeah, absolutely. And then addressing that with our kid, teaching them the fundamentals, what they need to learn educationally, but then investing that biblical worldview the whole time. So character training as well as the actual nuts and bolts, ABCs.
Yes, and not just behavior control. Behavior control, obviously there's some amount of that, whether you're in the home, whether you're in a school. But we want heart change, which ironically is the one thing we're not responsible for, but we try to make conditions right for that heart change. Yeah.
Well, that's part of discipleship, that we're faithful to disciple. And then, of course, what happens is between the individual and the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't take us off the hook. Otherwise, Jesus never would have said in his word that we need to be discipling. We're called to do that. What about gender specific? We had a little bit of blowback when Denise was on Facebook Live. I had some people in there going, oh, this is ridiculous, separating the boys and girls. But is it?
Is it?
Ridiculous.
It depends on what you're trying to build. If you are trying to build a godly man, then you want to build him into a man. Most of our school environments are not, they want their young men to behave like young ladies. Makes it a lot easier to handle them. Again, that's not biblical. If we're trying to build godly women, so at Iron Academy, Academy 31, we have two different views on that. So we are trying to build young men who live up to our honor code. I would say Psalm 23, shepherds. We're trying to build the shepherds like the good shepherd. For our young ladies, we're trying to build Proverb 31 women who are capable, kind, wise, strong, multifaceted women ready to have an impact in this culture. I would say even with the young ladies, it's even more imperative that we have a single gender education. The things that are being thrown at them as sexual norms, norms of dress, how to behave themselves on social media, I don't know of a time in American history where it's ever been harder for a young lady. Our vision for the young ladies is for them to graduate, or when we reintegrate them into a co-ed environment back in the 12th grade, we want them to have understood and grown to understand who they are in Christ, what it means to be a godly woman, and then they've skipped all the ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they see all the dumb stuff that happens when you mix the genders back together.
Right, sure.
Then they recognize it for the dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Not, I want them to be godly young women. And that makes them more. That makes them what they were designed to be, not less.
Right, right. It's better for everybody, including the men. And we'll talk about, hey, listen, there's actual learning differences, too, between the young men and the young women. We got to talk about that. And the distractions that occur naturally when you have them all together. But when they're teenagers, that's counterproductive. This is Steve Noble. We're talking to Alan Hahn from Iron Academy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking today to my good friend and education expert, to say the least, Alan Hahn, who's the Chief Education Officer of Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So if you have, I'll let Alan do this. If you have young sons or young daughters, what age should they be and how do they contact Iron Academy?
Rising 6th graders through rising 11th graders, and they should contact Iron Academy. I'd love to tell them more. Ask us any question. Test us. Take a walk around. Meet the young men. Meet the teachers. We have nothing to hide. Visit ironacademy.org.
And then what about Academy 31? That's coming next fall for the young ladies, correct?
Yes, and I'm so excited about that. Two single-sex schools, same campus, but entirely separated, but benefiting from the presence of each other and the resources available to both.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we'll talk more about that as we move towards that this spring and into next summer, and certainly excited about the launch next fall. Talking about education in general and biblical education more specifically, and then gender-specific education, and we have some other some tips for all of us that have kids in terms of learning, whether you're homeschooled or public school or Christian school, biblical school. God willing, you're at a school like Iron Academy, or perhaps some of you here in Raleigh already have your young sons at Iron Academy. But before we dive back into that, just wanted to remind you about one of our great sponsors here on the show, because if we don't have sponsors, we don't have a show. And if we don't have a show, we can't talk about these super important topics like education today. So one of our newer sponsors here in North Carolina, specifically Oreck of the Carolinas. Of course, we all know about Oreck vacuums, but they have a big thing going on this Saturday. It's just this Saturday, Saturday, December 9th, 8 a.m. to noon. They have stores across North Carolina. 4 hours only. Incredible pricing, like their uprights starting at $149. Air purifiers as low as $129. Handheld vacuums starting at $89. You can also get a free Oryx Spray Simple Floor Mop. Those are those really lightweight floor mops that spray the stuff on the floor that you can clean. So that's cool. You get that with the purchase of any full-size vacuum cleaner. But it's only this Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon. There's stores all over North Carolina. So all of my North Carolina friends, all you need to do to find out about that is auriccarolinas.com. That's their website, auriccarolinas.com. I mentioned right before the break, Alan, about not only the differences between men and women and teaching them biblically, but just from a learning perspective. Aren't there massive differences in how we should educate or how we need to educate men versus women?
Yes. And again, it depends on what the outcome you want is. If you want to an effeminate young man, then no, there aren't very many differences. But the truth is, men and women both benefit from single gender education. And the evidence keeps piling up. And it's one of the interesting things to come out recently is why the single gender education benefits men and women. And actually, that's even different, too. So for women, the biggest benefit they get from single gender education is from their single gender classroom experience, or the biggest damage to it is when they have a co-ed classroom experience. Mm-hmm. The most damage to their education, or the reduction in the effectiveness of the quality of education for men, comes from when they have a co-ed environment. So some different dynamics going on, but the classroom experience, if it's co-ed, it's definitely hurting the educational outcomes, and there's no way around it. The research bears that out. But again, going back to building warriors for Christ who know who they are as men, as women in Christ, who they were designed to be, that's important to have those there as well. And when you're teaching, you do teach things differently for men and for women. And it could be that 80% of it is very similar, but that 20% that you distinguish for the women and for the men, very important. That's an enormous that's a lot of margin for improvement in education.
Yeah, that's for sure. And even how a day goes by. I mean, at Iron Academy, you take a lot of breaks because you got all these young men who are energetic, and we assume they're all sick and need drugs. But what they need is to be taught in a manner and in a structure that realizes the way God made them, and to be able to deal with that energy level and lack of attention versus girls who can literally sit in class to class all day and be just fine.
Yes, generally speaking, that's true. There are some young ladies who fidget as well, but we don't have ADD problems or ADHD problems. We don't even want to entertain the discussion at Iron Academy because we have an environment that is conducive to the learning needs of young men. So, yes, we have long classes, 90-minute classes, but we get them up and move them around. Their brains are constantly being renewed with oxygen and blood, and we don't have tired eyes in Iron Academy. We sometimes have tired bodies with all the physical stuff we do.
Yeah.
But well, the education is engaging. We make it engaging. We have different hooks we hang things on to get them interested in things than we would with young ladies. And we'll do the same thing with the young ladies. But it's all about optimizing education. So we have these two single gender environments, both meant to optimize, one, the education and the disciple building. And single gender happens to be perfect for both of those and biblical.
And so what are some of the type of results that you've seen as a result of coming at education this way?
All right. Well, this is an enormous one. Education is notoriously difficult to measure in effectiveness. So how do you do it? Well, one of the ways you can do it is, are you raising IQs? Are you making your young people smarter? That's about the most objective thing we can measure, right? If we offer an average education, the IQ of a young person will not change between 5 and 10, 15, 25, 50 years old. If you offer a poor education, their IQ can go down. We can make people dumber. If we offer a superb education, we can make people smarter. If we develop lifetime habits of pursuing growth intellectually, we will get smarter. So if we have a superb educational environment, we should be seeing our young men's IQ growing in relation to their peers across Wake County, across North Carolina, across the nation. And guess what? 1 year at Iron Academy, and this has been over the previous 3 years, what we've seen is we're improving their IQ compared to their peers across the nation in Wake County by 8.7% in 1 year.
Wow.
After 2 years, it's almost 15%. If we put that into SAT terms, we'd be talking 150 points, and we're not training for the SAT.
Right.
So a superb education matters. How do we do it? Well, gender specific is certainly a factor in that. But one thing we don't often talk about is learning philosophy, educational philosophy. Most schools, Parents, if you're looking at schools out there, you need to ask, what's your educational philosophy? There are a few types of school that know what that is. Classical schools, they know what they believe about the best way to educate somebody. Montessori schools, they have a firm belief about the best way to educate somebody. And it's better to believe something than not know. If you don't know, you're progressive. That's the other option.
Yeah.
At Iron Academy, we believe in targeted learning, and we're targeting the acquisition class by class, unit by unit, year after year of the higher order critical thinking skills. We're teaching people for a world we can't foresee. The jobs that are out there today, we don't know if they're going to be there 10 years.
That's right.
They could be replaced by software, by machines. So we have to teach people how to do the most complex things, and that is how to take a great deal of information and synthesize it into something useful, how to be able to create and innovate, how to be able to evaluate effectively between good and evil, bad, good. These are the hardest things for us to do as human beings, and this is the hardest thing for our brain. If we're not training within a repeatable methodology day after day, year after year, we're not creating people that will deal effectively in the future for a world we just don't know is going to be like.
Yeah, well, we know it's not going to be like today. So if you're training a 12 or a 13 or a 15-year-old for the way the world is today, you're setting them up to fail because this world is changing so rapidly.
Very scary.
It's very scary, and the role of technology and artificial intelligence and machinery, autonomous driving, take your pick. You have to be able to, I love that, targeted learning and be able to synthesize information and be creative and innovative. If you can't think on your feet and kind of see problems and figure out a way to solve them, you're going to be in big trouble as the world changes rapidly.
And one of the things we're seeing so many schools jump to is what they would put it in the category of technological education. But they are training things where we were putting those in the category of certifications. Certifications aren't higher level thinking. They are memorizing things for tests, being able to do some basic skills. You can get those certifications anywhere outside of your school.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be the function of a school. The function of a school, K-12, should be able to teach people how to think and how to do multiple things, not to get Microsoft certifications or this or that as the end of their education. But we need to teach them how to think and deal with large amounts of information. Anybody can use Google. The people who can only use Google, they will not be finding jobs. It's going to be a rough place for those. We've got to create thinkers.
Yeah, and we're talking about kind of educational methodology, and we'll have you back in January and unpack this more because you've got a lot of research that's been coming in over the last few years. A lot of different points here that can apply to people just about educational philosophy in general, and that really applies whether your kids are at a public school, government school, and you can invest there, especially if they're like in a magnet school, something like that, where you can spend more time and get involved. Whether it's homeschooling or a private education, like at a gender-specific biblical school like Iron Academy, there are some nuts and bolts that you can use in all of those different situations. Is that right?
Yes, and education is notoriously slow at changing course, like a big, huge tanker at sea.
Yeah,
you know, it takes
sure.
a while. Homeschoolers, they can be really nimble and quick. Iron Academy, we can be really nimble and quick. A lot of smaller schools can do that. But to respond to the really great research that's come out in recent years, we've got to do that if we're going to catch up. We can't be 30 years behind.
Yeah, so now we're not just talking about protecting our kids from an anti-Christian worldview and training them up in the way that they should go. We're talking about learning methodology that will allow them, set aside the spiritual, which invades everything, but will allow them to compete and be effective in a world that's coming at us fast that we can't entirely predict, but we know it's changing.
Yes, you need a biblical education and you need a superb education to face the world that's coming.
Yeah, one without the other is totally incomplete.
Right.
Yeah, and we need to remember that. So again, how can people, and we're going to come back in January, we're going to talk about some things. Alan's got great points on what we as adults can do to learn more. We're going to talk about questions you can ask about the school that your kids are at now. But if they're here in the Raleigh area, Alan, and they want to get more information about Iron Academy or Academy 31 for the young ladies, what should they do next?
Tell you what, I'll make it easy. There's one site. Go to ia31.org. That'll take you to both. But come to one of our family information meetings and definitely sign up for that because we had an overwhelming response in November.
That's awesome. When's the next one?
We have one January 16th and February 20th.
So they go to what website again if they're here in the Triangle area?
ia31.org.
And even if you're not here, go to ia31.org and get inspired. Talk to Alan and his staff because we would love to see God take what he's doing here in the Triangle area of North Carolina and spread it around the state and spread it around the nation because, boy, do we need that kind of emphasis on biblical learning and excellent education. Alan Hahn, always great to have you on. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, we'll be back tomorrow. It's the official annual Santa Claus show, which tends to upset a few people. But that's the way we roll. God willing, I'll talk to you guys real soon.